Begin with roll call. Andrew?
Here.
David, Juan,
Here.
Dick, Eswar,
Here.
Sunita,
Here.
David Woosley,
Here.
Gretchen,
Here.
and I believe Howard Lee is remote. I don't know if you need to give that.
I am present on remote.
Thank you.
Would you like me to qualify,
Yeah, why don't we just
Mr.
do that for the roll call?
Sure. So, Trustee Lee, are you teleconferencing from the address of 126 Water Street, New York, New York?
That is correct.
And is the location from where you're teleconferencing from open to the public and ADA accessible?
Yes.
And if a member of the public wishes to be heard by this board, would they be able to be heard from your location?
Yes.
And have you posted the agenda on the exterior of the location so that it may be seen by the public?
Yes.
Thank you. Trustee Lee has been qualified under the traditional Brown Act teleconferencing rules. All votes must be roll call votes for the duration of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I, Franco Votto, am here as well. We're going to go to orders of the day. We have some items that have to be pulled and heard in closed session. So item 4C and 4D to be heard before closed session. And then discuss items 3A and 4G together. And then we're deferring item 1.7A. So 4C is discussion and action of appointment of labor negotiator for the chief executive officer position.
So in accordance with the CEO performance evaluation policy, the board needs to designate a labor negotiator for the CEO executive officer performance evaluation. The policy states that by default, it would be our chair, but could be any board member based on the majority vote of the board. So we would need a nomination, a second.
I'll nominate the chair, Franco.
We have a nomination from Eswar. We have a second.
Second.
A second from Dick. Okay, we'll do on the roll call. Andrew?
Yes.
David Kwan?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Eswar?
Aye.
Sunita?
Aye.
Woosley?
Yes.
Gretchen?
Aye.
Howard?
Yes.
Well, I guess I need to accept too. So I accept. And then 4D.
In accordance with the CIO performance evaluation policy, the board needs to nominate and select a labor negotiator for the chief investment officer performance evaluation. Policy defaults to the chair of the IC, but the board can select anyone with the majority of the vote.
I'll nominate chair of the IC.
Got a motion from Sunita, second from Dick. Go to roll call. Andrew?
Aye.
David Kwan?
Yes.
Dick? Eswar?
Aye.
Sunita?
Aye.
David Woosley?
Yes.
Gretchen?
Aye.
Howard?
Yes.
And I'm an aye. And I'm assuming you accept. Okay. Are we discussing what we have? 3A and 4G together? Is that just something we have to combine or?
We can do that after closed session.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and move into closed session. Okay. We'll have nothing to report out and we'll get on with the rest of our meeting. I'll entertain a motion for the consent calendar. Got a motion from Dick. Second.
Second, Gardner.
Second, Gardner. Do a roll call. Eswar?
Yes.
Sunita?
Yes.
Andrew?
Yes.
I am a yes. Dick?
Yep.
Woosley?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Gretchen?
Yes.
And Howard?
Yes.
Okay. Going on to item two, investments. Oral update by our CIO.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's still morning. We have a very short investment agenda this morning. But before I get to that, some numbers. First, I'll give you the more boring numbers. Fiscal year to date, the plan was up 69 basis points as of 2 days ago. This is, of course, from July 1st to now. The healthcare trust was up 85 basis points. The more interesting numbers, these are estimates again. As of June 30th, last year, the pension plan was up 10%. On a three-year basis, 9.1%. On a five-year basis, 9.3%. So a good, I want to say 250, 275 basis points over our discount rate. So kudos to the board for keeping the asset allocation where it is, taking the right amount of risk. And that five-year number of 9.3% was also better than the investable benchmark return of 8.87%. So at least on a five-year basis, our manager selection has added some 43 basis points or so, which is not insignificant. With that, happy to take questions, or we can go to, we did issue an RFP for trading costs and Forex. We've had the same provider for some time, so we thought it was time to issue an RFP. And to discuss those results, we have Christina and Ron.
Morning. Our contract with trading cost and foreign exchange vendors expired on June 30th. We issued RFP earlier this year based on the evaluation of the responses, interview with the top candidate, internal scoring by investment staff, and reference calls with other pension plans. Staff unanimously chose ACA as a top candidate for TCA and FX reporting. We will realize significant cost savings with the ACA bundled service. The total cost for PNF plan over 3 years will be $56,250, which is less than half of what we're paying now. So staff recommend that the board approve the hiring of ACA to conduct a trading cost analysis and FX trading cost analysis and sign a 3-year contract that expires on June 30th, 2028. We have attached a detailed memo and happy to take questions.
Yes, no one has any questions. So what are we, we're approving this, right?
Motion.
Approve for the CEO to negotiate. Okay, I got a motion from Dick. Second from Woosley. Any further discussion? Eswar?
Aye.
Nita?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
Dick?
Yes.
Woosley?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Gretchen?
Aye.
Howard?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Okay, number three, old business. Discussion and action on the board's designation of 1737 North First Street, Retirement Services Building for regular board meetings.
Sure, I'll just kick off. Included in the packet today is a memo just describing some interactions between myself and some of the city administration and the city attorney's office right before the last meeting. I was notified of a procedure that based on a 2009 memo from City Council that says that the meetings should take place at City Hall, referring to all public meetings and commissions. And this memo was issued in December 2009. In August of 2010, the Municipal Code Section 3.36.330 was passed. That's important because it states the retirement board shall hold regular monthly meetings at a time and place to be determined by the board. So in discussion with the city attorney's office, they said that there was an internal email that described a process that took into account both the change in the municipal code as well as the previously approved council memo that requires that we submit after board approves the location, that I would need to then submit the request via memo to the city clerk for inclusion at a future city council meeting. I did invite the clerk and the city attorney to attend in case the board had any questions, but I didn't receive any response. So, but I think the details here are plain.
Hey, John, thank you. Not to put you on the spot, Councilmember Casey. Since you are council liaison, do you see or have any concerns with us moving these meetings to retirement services to our boardroom?
None whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your quick, swift answer. any other comments regarding this matter? I'll entertain a motion.
So move.
I had a motion, Dick, and a second from Aswar. Any further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, as you know, all of us feel one reason. It's more efficient. It's best for all the retirees, and that's what we're trying to all do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've outlined a lot of the reasons. It's an easier space for a lot of us to get to. And then know it takes a lot of burden off of staff having to haul everything down. All right. We got a motion. We have a second. Aswar.
Aye.
Tanita.
Aye.
Andrew.
Aye.
Dick. Woosley. David.
Yes.
Gretchen.
Aye.
Howard.
Yes.
And I am a yes. Okay, moving on to number four, new business, oral update.
We were going to take 4G.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
4G. Oh, discussion and action on the 2026 scheduled board and standing committee meetings.
May I?
Yes.
In the packet, I included a few documents. One is a standard operating procedure schedule. So if we just repeat the cadence of the meetings that we had this year and in the past years. But then I'm also offering an alternative schedule. And the alternative schedule, in reviewing the cadence of meetings, the volume of meetings, and talking with some staff, talking with specifically the admin staff and our consultants, what we talked about was trying to figure out how do we make the meetings a little bit more efficient. You're going to do a board self-assessment here soon. But I can tell you that the federated self-assessment last year talked about just the sheer number of meetings and if there's any efficiency that we can do with that. This doesn't help necessarily with the board's efficiency, but I think this will help greatly with the staff efficiency. And so what I'm recommending is really there's two changes. One is we're co-locating the disability committee meetings into the same day. The police and fire disability committee meeting stays on Monday, but we're moving or recommending to move the federated disability committee meeting to that same day, but in the afternoon. This way, we only have to bring our disability people together one day. Staff focuses on delivering during that one day for both disability committee meetings, and then we have and then we can get back to doing our normal business. It also allows our consultant to be on site one day versus a number of days, and this meeting is scheduled for each month. The second change I'm requesting is this meeting is currently the first Thursday of every month. I'm requesting that we co-locate the meeting to the same week as the federated meeting. So the recommendation is generally the third Wednesday of the month. So it'll be Wednesday police and fire, Thursday federated. And what that allows us to do is when we're putting together the agendas, at least not the investment side, but all the other stuff, there's a lot of repeat things that happen across the agenda. So it allows us to get a solid agenda put together. We will meet on Wednesday. We'll meet on Thursday. We get all of our answers in one week. I hope it will create some efficiency around getting decisions made across both boards. It helps staff and myself focus. There's a lot of focus and energy that goes into producing one of these meetings, and it allows us to co-locate that into the same 2 weeks of every month. Therefore, the other weeks of the month There are plenty of other meetings, as you see on the calendar, but the board meetings are the ones that take the most energy. But that allows us to open up the rest of the month so that we can focus on running the organization and delivering benefits, right? Which is a big part of our job. So there's no change on the federated side for the board meeting, but there would be a change for this meeting from first Thursday to generally the third Wednesday.
Through the chair, I'm a little confused. This meeting we're having now for police and fire changes to Wednesdays?
Oh, the proposal is to look to do that starting in January.
It'll be
the third Wednesday. So we'll meet on Wednesday, federal will meet the next day. So we're not going to have this 3 week imbalance between the
once
two.
Once a month, police and fire will be on Wednesday.
Yes.
That's the toughest day for me.
Oh.
The first 2 weeks. You called me about the disability.
Yes, sir.
And I gave you the input. I would have given you have said the same thing there. I gave you the same input.
So you said three. You said the first 2 weeks? This is proposed the third week.
I'm sorry. So it's not the first week. It's the third week. Of the Thursday.
Yes. No, third week, Wednesday.
Gotcha. Thank you. That's fine.
Okay. Anyone else have any input?
So what happens to the committees that meet typically after the board meeting?
So those would also be adjusted, but just for the ones that fall after police and fire. So that is currently the...
I mean, so selfishly on the audit committee. I'll have to be here, and Howard will have to be here on a Wednesday and a Thursday after, consecutively.
So... for those who would be on audit, that the police and fire would be, as an example, February 18th, and then the audit committee would be after the meeting on February 19th.
And then so governance would be the other way around?
In March, it's the other way around. So it would be police and fire on Wednesday, governance on Wednesday. So that governance would align with this meeting. We don't have to make the decision today. Typically, the schedule is presented and voted on at the August meeting. I do realize I'm throwing a curveball.
Yeah.
And you know, if you need to take it back, I don't think there's an imminent decision that needs to be made in August. But I did want to kind of get that out there for discussion, for trying to find
a good idea
what the conflicts are.
So sure. Coming to San Jose 2 consecutive days.
Okay.
John, from your perspective and from staff's perspective, I think this makes a lot of sense for efficiencies and allowing you more time to do your day job rather than I'm for it.
Yeah. What did you
would you consider doing the joint committee meetings at a different day altogether?
Sure. I mean, we line them up. Sometimes it proves efficient, but you know, we may have a trustee in the back waiting for this meeting to end so that we could go into the governance committee.
Yeah.
And so that conflict does create. What I've heard feedback from is some people don't like that it goes right into after a board meeting, and then others view coming on a different day as more of a burden. But you know, if you have some suggestions,
and I think as we see these meetings get moved around a lot, there's typically someone's not available or whatever may happen. I think the meat and potatoes of it is this regular board meeting.
No, objection to that. I'm just saying I would suggest you
the back-to-back
committee meetings. If there's a different solution, perhaps you could.
Okay.
Times are the same.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if we
have everybody's okay with a 9 o'clock start,
I think 9 o'clock works. And if there's no objections, and it sounds like everybody's in agreement, we can take a vote.
And what I'll say is the committee meetings, I think, are more easily adjusted, and we do adjust them month to month, sometimes week to week. But I can talk with you offline specifically and the chairs of those committees too.
Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
I got a motion, Dick.
Second.
Second from Gretchen.
Right.
As far I, Sunita,
aye.
Andrew, Ick, Woosley,
yes.
David,
aye.
Gretchen, and I am an I.
Howard? Oh, Howard.
Yes, I'm with it.
Okay. Your oral update, done?
Of course. Or our staff schedules have come have been adjusted to come in alignment with the updated CMO guidance of a regular, of a minimum 32 hours per week in office. Special thanks to the partnership of the management the leadership of the management and the partnership of the staff to work through everyone's schedules and to make those adjustments. That went into effect beginning of June. We're working on four recruitments right now. We have one benefit analyst in the pension group. Recruitment is underway. A staff specialist in the health group. This position became vacant in July, and we're in the late stages of recruitment. Expect to have a start date shortly. With the approval of City Council budget and the removal of the hiring freeze, RS has started recruiting for the program manager position. This position will close shortly, and we had 24 applicants to date. Lastly, I regret to inform the board that we're Amy Dickinson, one of our senior benefit analysts, who manages, among many other things, disabilities, will be leaving ORS. Her last day is next week. ORS will begin recruiting activities as soon as possible to fill the big shoes that she leaves behind. With Amy's departure, our senior analyst position in benefits has seen four separations since 2022, right? So somewhat of a significant turnover rate. Sandra, Barbara, and I have begun discussing this concern in the context of current vacancies within that I just mentioned, another planned maternity leave, and some of the sentiments that we captured in our climate survey, while also considering other succession planning concerns for the division. But more to come on that topic later, but just planting the seed and giving an update there. On a much better note, our ORS cybersecurity assessment remediation has been completed. As of May 2025, all 60 security control findings have been successfully addressed and well ahead of schedule. Based on the status meeting held July 30th, all 93 privacy control findings have also been addressed. The big thanks deservedly goes to the ORS IT team. Shilpi's not with us here today. She's on vacation. But Shilpi, Chris, and of course, Barbara, for the dedication, keeping the project moving forward. The consultant has offered to deliver a closeout presentation to the board if the board wishes. Alternatively, we can submit a confidential report once it's finalized for your acceptance. Discussed internally and with the chair, we're working through this year's 2026 Anthem Medicare Advantage rates program with the city. As the city finalizes the Medicare Advantage health plans for 2026, we're preparing for a significant rate increase for the premiums. The current estimates for Anthem, assuming no changes are made to the plan design, will result in members paying a premium for the coverage for the first time. Monthly premiums for single and married members enrolling in Anthem Medicare Advantage could be, again, lots of assumptions that there are no plan changes, $30 to $60 per month, depending if they're single or married. More specifically for police and fire members, because there is no excess coverage, there will also no longer be receiving Medicare Part B reimbursements. For our police and fire members only, those reimbursements can average $500 to over $1,000 per year. But not only will they be paying a premium for the first time for their Medicare Advantage plan, but then they would also not be eligible for reimbursements because there would be no savings that the city would have available for reimbursement. The city met with stakeholders via their Maintaining Medical Plan Option Committee meeting last week. I believe in attendance were some of the union groups and retiree associations. The city discussed alternate plan designs and options that do include plan reductions to reduce the overall costs. At this time, we have not communicated anything with the membership, but once the plans are finalized for our retirees, ORS will reach out to the retiree associations to discuss communication campaigns and outreach, as this will be a significant change for our Anthem Medicare Advantage retirees. Procurement contract update. I'm happy to report all of our legal contracts are complete and administratively complete, legally complete. They're all loaded into the city's contract management system. Our contract with Chiron is complete. We're still working on the Milliman actuarial audit contract. That is with ORS right now, and we'll begin negotiations with Milliman shortly. That was put on the back burner behind all of the other contracts because the first audit not scheduled to really even start until the end of 2026. As you know, Aon, we completed our contract negotiations with Aon. We do need to review a component of the insurance wording on the contract, but that's in final review with risk now for an amendment to the executed contract. The two communication contracts, Social Selenator and Communication Advantage, have been complete, and I have been working with the city and now back with Gallagher on an updated compensation consultant proposal, which we just received last night. Benji and I are working through the city procurement process, as it seems that Gallagher has a master agreement with the city. So we're trying to work through the appropriate procurement process, whether to use the city's master agreement or whether or not we need to contract on our own. And then we'll give an update later, but the internal audit services procurement is underway, and we'll give an update during the audit committee. Just a note, we onboarded Aon, Julie and Becker and Benita Harper as our primary contacts, which you all met today. We jumped right in preparing the board's executive evaluations, staff climate surveys, and preparing for the police and fire board self-assessment, which we will quickly be followed by preparations for our strategic planning that will kick off during our retreats in September. Construction in the office has been completed in our new office space. We're waiting for a few punch list tick items to be completed and some wiring in the conference room. We're pushing hard through the procurement process for the needed furniture for the and scheduling that installation. We currently expect the space to be available in September. As part of this project, we have replaced our deprecated security badging system with a more modern system that now includes controlling the new space, as well as enhancing the security reporting and notifications of our overall space. Staff climate surveys were completed in July, and Aon delivered the summary results on July 29th. Prabhu, Barbara, and I are scheduled to spend some time discussing the results tomorrow. I plan to deliver a plan to discuss the different themes captured in the survey, first with senior management, and then hopefully to solicit some more details from the staff and other areas that they feel comfortable sharing, maybe through some lunch discussions, various themes. Once we've developed an action plan, I will work with the chairs to schedule discussions at the board and appropriate committees. ORS held its summer picnic in June at Kelly Park. Great day with some good food and a few laughs, a little bit at my expense, but that's okay. The staff photo here by the food table, we're going to hang it up in the lobby and starting a little bit of a new tradition here at ORS. Quarterly retirement workshops held via Zoom for Tier 1 and Tier 2 members who are 1 to 2 years from retirement. You can schedule online on our website. The next scheduled session is August 28th at 8:30 a.m. With that, I will take questions from the board.
Any questions for John?
Next board meeting is the offsite?
Next board meeting will be at the office, correct?
No, is the offsite?
That's the retreat, yes.
Okay, that's
It's technically a public meeting. We'll go through a consent agenda and only the minimally required items. So as an example, we will still have a closed session to take the next steps in the performance review process. But then working with staff, we'll try to push all non-required items to October or to this meeting.
So should we assume that it'll be whole day or?
You should assume it's going to be a whole day. Yeah, we're looking at about, our estimate right now is about a 5-hour program.
Anything else for John?
Okay. Councilmember Casey, you have anything to update us on?
Nothing. We've been on hiatus for the month of July. We have our first coming back to council meeting next Tuesday, and I'll hopefully update you guys at the next meeting we have.
Thank you.
Okay, discussion and action on adoption of updated city policy manual 1.7.9, website and digital service governance policy.
So I'll just make a quick comment on both of these. You can take each action separately, but these are city policies that RS administration recommend the board to adopt. So in alignment with our MOU with the city, any policies that the city passes, we bring to the board for review and acceptance. The 1.7.9 web governance provides additional clarification for ADA Title II compliance, clarification on upcoming .gov State California law and compliance, and web domain exception procedures. There is going to be a change. So right now, our website is a .org, and as part of a new California state legislation, we're required to change to a .gov domain. And so, you know, this isn't specific to us. It's just specific to the city, but it's telling all of the city or organizations, specifically those that don't have .gov domains, that they will also need to come in compliance with this by the end of next year.
Motion to approve.
John. One clarification, our current one is a .com.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. I got a motion from Dick.
Second.
A second from Sunita. Any further discussion? Eshwar.
Aye.
Sunita.
Aye.
Dick. Yes. Woosley. David.
Yes.
Gretchen.
Aye.
And I for Govato, M.A.
Aye.
Yes. And just for the record, Trustee Gardner had another engagement from 12.
I'm also a yes.
Oh, and Howard. All right.
Jason, no worries.
Okay, you want to cover up too,
John? Sure, I'll be quick. The next one is governed data policy. This is the first policy passed by the city regarding data governance. And this is also part of the data governance that I reported as completion on our cybersecurity audit was relating to the city actually needing to pass this policy. So policies, procedures, and standards designated to enhance data management, ensure a uniform data structure across the city facilities with access to enterprise solutions.
Motion approved. I had a motion from Woosley, second from Dick.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So, John, how does the privacy, since we have a lot of data that is fairly sensitive, the data privacy policy of the cities are adequate for covering attention?
I believe so. I mean, the city has data governance policies and has private information. Most of the data that we use for our systems are based from the city's records themselves. So, but it's really more creating standard policies across all of the city organizations on how they handle their data privacy.
Any other questions? Go ahead and step up. You have a comment?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not actually a city employee, I'm a member of the public. I'm not sure exactly what the agenda is today, but I've been all the digital policy. My name is Terry Andrew Crittenden. And I am very concerned about the use of digital records. It's a long story. With the Wi-Fi and everything, these there's been database abuse with the California law enforcement database. The FEMA funding has been ripped off by the city of Sunnyvale, and HUD funding was ripped off by the city of San Jose a while back. I don't know if you're familiar with Lisa Herrick. She was a former assistant city attorney in 2012 when Fan Noh was the assistant deputy police chief over the Bureau of Administration Permits. Had off-duty San Jose police officers working in uniform as private security guards, a company called Wi-Fi SWAT, run by a reserve officer named Robert Ridgway. Not only were they violating Section C-115.03 of the duty manual, which required that they could only enforce laws, not the policy of their employers. The policies that they were enforcing violated HUD violations. They funneled money into the plant shopping center. There was a General Electric plant there that was dumping nuclear waste into the sewer system, which made its way into the drinking water. That was, from what I understand, concealed from the environmental impact report and other financial impact reports, et cetera, in 2012. There's a violation of Title 42, Section 1983 of the U.S. Code, Title 18, Section 1942 of the U.S. Code that's criminal and civil. Both of them are deal with deprivation of rights under color of law, which requires either due process, I'm not a great public speaker, but, or just compensation. I've been deprived of my housing and my equal opportunity for housing and employment since 2020, October 2020 in Sunnyvale. Fan Noh, who was a supposed deputy chief, left after an audit revealed problems with the way the things were being handled. He ended up becoming the Sunnyvale police chief, with Lisa Herrick being the assistant city attorney leaving.
Sir, I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Terry Andrew Crittenden.
Is this somehow related to our securing our data?
Yes. The database.
Did we get to that point?
Yes. The HMIS database and the CLETS law enforcement database and an internal database which handled the STOP program, trespassing on public property, which should fall under 602 of the penal code, but they had abuse for that as well. And again, I was a little bit unprepared for the meeting today as far as.
Okay, so this database is unrelated to the police department. This is for retirement services.
Okay.
And what we're doing is securing ours. You might be at the wrong meeting.
I wasn't aware of all that.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
So you guys know that the Lisa Herrick becoming the general counsel for the court after leaving here is a conflict of interest. And pretty much Sunnyvale and San Jose have lost jurisdiction for that. So she was assistant city attorney and then becoming the general counsel.
Yeah, again, not related to our business here today.
Okay.
I appreciate your time, though. Thank you. So, your time is up.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, I think we had a motion and a second on that, if I recall.
Yes. Trustee Woosley and Trustee.
Any further discussion? Eswar?
Aye.
Tanita?
Aye.
Dick?
Yes.
Woosley? David?
Yes.
Gretchen?
Aye.
Howard?
Yes.
And I am an aye. Okay, moving on. Five, retirements. We have Julian P. Molly, Fire Captain, Fire Department, effective August 4th, 2025, 27.27 years of service. We have Peter Nguyen, firefighter, fire department, effective August 2nd, 2025, with 25.18 years service. We have Jermaine Thomas, police. Well, I'm going to make things difficult today.
Not at this.
All right, we'll pick up on 5-1C, I think is where we left off. Jermaine Thomas, Police Lieutenant, Police Department, effective July 5th, 2025, with 26.72 years of service. We have Joshua D. Warren, Fire Captain, Fire Department, effective July 5th, 2025, 27.24 years of service. We'll just lump in our defer vested as well. Harry G. Felix, Police Officer, Police Department, effective July 4th, 2025, with 15.61 years of service. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
And a motion from Dick.
Aye.
And a second from Woosley. Eswar.
Aye.
Anita.
Yes.
Dick. Woosley.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Gretchen.
Aye.
Howard.
Yes.
And I am a yes.
And I'm pardon me for interrupting, but we do need to have a separate vote for the deferred.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Tried. All right. Can I entertain the motion for deferred?
So moved.
Motion Dick.
Second.
Second Woosley.
Aye.
Eswar.
Aye.
Anita. Dick.
Yes.
Woosley.
Yes.
David. Yes.
Gretchen. Aye. Howard.
Yes.
And I'm a yes. Yeah. Death and survivorship notifications. Notification of the death of Thomas Frazier, Deputy Chief, retired February 9th, 1995, died May 16th, 2025, no survivorship benefits. Notification of the death of Paul F. Gillies, fire engineer, retired May 6, 1995, died April 16, 2025. Survivorship benefits to Diane Gillies, spouse. Notification of the death of Stephen Greenlee, police officer, retired August 4, 2011, died June 15, 2025. Survivorship benefits to Elizabeth Greenlee, spouse. Notification of the death of Jeffrey Hunter, firefighter, retired August 3rd, 1995, died June 3rd, 2025, no survivorship benefits. Notification of the death of Oliver F. Kramer, police sergeant, retired September 13th, 1986, died June 20th, 2025, no survivorship benefits. Notification of the death of Leo G. Blinsky, Jr., police officer, retired June 17, 1983, died June 12, 2025, no survivorship benefits. Notification of the death of Curtis Reeves, police officer, retired January 31, 2004, died June 6, 2025, no survivorship benefits. Notification of the death of Michael Ross, police lieutenant, retired January 26, 2008, died May 13, 2025, survivorship benefits. To Leslie Ross, spouse. Of a moment of silence. Okay. Any words?
Thank them all for their service.
And our condolences to the family.
And thanks. Okay, moving on to 7 committee minutes, reports and recommendation, investment committee.
We've had no meeting. We have one coming up soon, a few weeks.
Okay. 7-2, audit committee.
Our last meeting was in May. We have a meeting coming up at the end of August, August 28th. And we have two topics, I think, following sections B and C on the internal recommendations, internal audit recommendations, as well as MGO plan approval.
That looks like we are going to accept these recommendations. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a motion, Dick?
Second.
Second, Sunita. Any further discussion? Eswar?
Aye.
Sunita?
Aye.
Dick?
Yes.
Woosley?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Gretchen?
Aye.
Howard?
Yes.
And I'm a yes. And then we have 7-2C. Did you cover this one as well, Howard?
I mentioned it. If John wants to add any more color to the MGO proposal and plan for the annual audit.
I'll just add, this is the standard plan before the board. For MGO is our financial auditor. MGO did a full presentation to the audit committee in May. This is being brought to the board for consideration and approval.
Motion to approve.
I got a motion, Sunita.
Second.
Second, Woosley. Eswar.
Aye.
Sunita.
Aye.
Dick.
Yes.
Woosley.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Gretchen.
Aye.
Howard.
Yes.
And I'm a yes. Okay, 7-3, governance.
We're going to meet right now.
All right, there you go. Disabilities.
It's a correction there. There's no meeting till September. Instead of August 7th, it's September. I'm sorry, it's August 11th. There's no meeting.
And we'll receive and file the minutes. 7-5, joint personnel.
Next meeting is in September, I believe 10th.
Okay, 7-6, joint audit ad hoc committee.
Okay, this is for the audit?
This is, yes, this is for the audit, internal audit RFP.
Would you want to take this? Yeah.
Sure, of course. We've met a few times with the ad hoc committee. We have the RFP for the internal auditor services closed on August 1st. The proposals have been distributed to the scoring team made up of some of our senior staff and the joint audit ad hoc committee. We're scheduled to meet next week to review the proposal and complete the scoring to select finalists. The finalist or finalists will be scheduled to go in front of the joint audit committee at the end of August, with the hopes that we'll be able to bring recommendation to the full boards in September. Worst cases, we don't make September police and fire, but we hope to definitely make it for Federated. And so the end result is we're ahead of schedule. We have four proposers that are being reviewed at the moment.
Thanks.
Thank you. And we have 7-7, Actuarial Services Joint Ad Hoc Committee.
I'll just defer to John.
We have not met. This committee is still standing because we are just about to start to negotiate with Milliman. Once that contract is done, this committee will dissolve. But the committee does not have any planned actions, assuming we can get to contract with Milliman.
Isn't Chiron still?
Chiron has been completed already.
And is the auditor.
Is the auditor, correct. Correct.
Okay. Investment Governance Ad Hoc Committee.
Yeah, so I think we've reached an agreement, the ad hoc, but I think the Federated is implemented slightly differently than what we were going to present today. So we're going to discuss it at the IC. We've discussed it with the CIO. We'll bring it next month. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Are there any proposed agenda items? Hearing none, this meeting's adjourned. Stand by for governance.
Thank you.